Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, a real treat, especially for those of you that love politics. And my guess is you love politics like I do if you're listening to this podcast. Jeff Mason is a White House correspondent for Reuters. He's been there a long time, served in the Obama administration, the Trump administration. He was the president of the White House Correspondents Association. He has been literally in a front row seat to so much history in this country. This week, I got to meet him. While I was one of the pool reporters for the president's trip to California, he took a great picture of me asking the president a question. It was very kind of him. And I said to him, you know, I got this show. I'd love you to come on. He said, sure, I'd love to do it. And so here he is this week talking to Jeff Mason about the president's trip, about covering President Trump, about covering President Obama. It's a really fascinating conversation. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Here's Jeff Mason. Jeff Mason, welcome to The Issue Is for the first time.
It's great to be with you. Thank you, Alec.
So I had the pleasure of meeting you this week when we were both out for President Trump's visit to California this week. He was here talking with the governor, talking about wildfires, a short visit. What did you make of that trip and of his relationship with California?
Well, I think it was important for him politically to go because the wildfires are so brutal right now for people in your state and other states in the West. And he was coming under some criticism for not saying or doing more about that. So I think politically it was important. I thought the interaction between him and Governor Newsom was sort of fascinating. They have clearly a rapport of some kind. And I also thought Governor Newsom was pretty skillful at getting his message across to the president and doing it in a way without alienating him. That was kind of fascinating political theater to watch.
And a lot of that starts with complimenting the president usually and giving him some wins in terms of what you agree with him on. The governor gave the president a briefing book that looks unlike certain briefing books. I actually tweeted some of these images out and got a whole lot of attention this week. This was the briefing book that the governor's team gave, and it included a lot of really big graphics with, you know, a few images. And, you know, we've heard that this is kind of how the president prefers to be briefed, prefers to receive information. Is that in line with sort of the way that he works?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that was one example of the governor sort of skillfully getting his message across. He had that briefing packet that you're showing there and made sure that the president could see in very clear terms, but without a lot of difficult to read charts or graphs or heavy chunks of text, just a basic picture and a few basic headlines with a few basic facts. That is definitely a way to get this sort of visual president to get his attention.
You know, for me, this was the first time that I had been a part of the White House press corps during COVID. It's interesting. Everybody has to take a COVID test before they can be around the president. And they also said that all of us should wear masks at all times, which I found to be a bit different message than what President Trump famously said to you a few times. Take a look.
The issue of what happened when you were in France continues to be a story.
You're going to have to take that off, please. Just, you can take it off.
Can you take it off? Because I cannot hear you.
I'll just speak louder, sir.
Oh, okay, because you want to be politically correct. Go ahead.
No, sir, I just want to wear a mask.
Go ahead.
What was that exchange like for you? What's it like for you standing there having that moment? And what do you make of the fact that now they say everybody should wear masks all the time?
It's just an example of inconsistent messaging on the president's behalf and on the White House's behalf about mask wearing. The White House will say to you, if you ask, that the president has supported wearing masks from the very beginning, but that's just not backed up by the facts and backed up by his comments, both to me in those clips that you played, but also just more broadly. He himself didn't want to be pictured publicly with a mask on until just fairly recently when we made a visit to a military hospital in near the White House. He then sort of came around for a while anyway, as the pandemic got worse and said that mask wearing was patriotic, but then follows up with moments like that.
You know, you're joining us right now from the Reuters White House booth in sort of the bowels of the White House right now.
Behind the press room.
Yeah. What is it like covering President Trump day in, day out, And how does he compare to other political figures you've worked with over the years?
He's unlike any other political figure that I've covered, that's for sure. And that will be the understatement of our interview, I'm sure. it's fascinating to cover him, as it is any president of the United States. It's a privilege to cover the White House. It can be tiring, as I think a lot of White House reporters might concede, because it is it's like a 24/7 job. But it's a privilege to be here, and it's always a big story. So a journalist likes a big story, and you definitely have that with Donald Trump.
But give us a sense of what he's like. Here's some of my observations I've seen about him. He obviously talks about fake news all the time and is angry when he gets negative coverage. But he also is obsessed with the news. He watches TV all the time. He knows most of the reporters' names. He's very familiar with media. He's a TV producer at heart. So how do you sort of square those two things at the same time?
It's a terrific question, and it's hard to answer that because it is hard to square them. And the very first time I met the president was on Air Force One right before he did one of his first rallies as president of the United States in 2017. And right before doing the rally, he came back and spoke to us in the press cabin of Air Force One. It was very cordial and shook people's hands, and then went straight out into the rally and started beating up on the press. So I think you're right to say that there is kind of a dichotomy or a disconnect there. He absolutely likes to have coverage. He wants to have good coverage, but I think he also is happy to have any coverage. That's better than no coverage at all. But it is also a key part of his political message, and one that resonates particularly well with his base, to use monikers like fake news, which we, of course, reject, and otherwise to just be negative about the press.
You, before this, were the White House correspondent covering President Obama. You covered President Obama's campaigns as well, spent a lot of time with him over the years. How different is that?
President Obama was also a fascinating guy, and also a very historic president, obviously, for many reasons. I think a few of us in the press corps then thought that he would be the most historic president that we would cover in our lifetimes, and I think that's probably turned out not to be the case, although, again, for much different reasons. He was very cerebral, President Obama was. He, in taking and having an interview with him, for example, with that picture that you're showing right now, it was much different from interviewing President Trump, because you could ask longer questions, multiple part questions, but then you'd also get multiple part answers. Mm-hmm. And he would really he'd give you a long, long answer. And especially if you only have a limited amount of time, that could be tricky. Now, that's something that a lot of politicians can do. President Trump, both in press conferences and also in interview scenarios, it's better to sort of have a shorter question. But as a result, at least in a press conference scenario, not in an interview, he gets to a lot more reporters that way. And that that for the press corps writ large is useful.
One thing I find interesting is that, you know, President Trump obviously goes off on the fact that he doesn't like the press, says that they're fake news, and yet he watches the media all the time. President Obama, who publicly talks about how much he is respects the press, didn't watch the news all the time, made a big point of the fact that he watched SportsCenter and didn't watch cable news and didn't like a lot of what we saw in terms of the media. How do you square those two things?
Yeah, they're just totally different personalities and totally different men, and totally different leaders, really, in that way, and their approach to so many things, but also with their approach to that topic of the media. I think for the President Obama really, you know, was a constitutional scholar and absolutely did and does respect the First Amendment. But there were certainly things that happened under his administration with regard to attacking and going after whistleblowers and some journalists that reporters and news organizations certainly objected to then. So it's you know, there were issues during the Obama administration as well. But in general, I remember the very last press conference he gave in the White House before leaving office, you know, he came in and he talked about the importance of the press. And George W. Bush, President Bush, the second one, President Bush, did something similar. And you know, those statements are important. It is always a sort of necessary acrimonious, maybe too strong of a word, but there's always a necessary tension between the press and the president. That doesn't mean it needs to be what it is right now.
Being a White House correspondent is perhaps sort of the top of the hierarchy when it comes to journalism. It has gotten so much attention, especially during this White House, that job. I'm wondering, what do you think is the biggest misconception about being a White House correspondent that's out there?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, we get, or I guess I should only speak for myself. I get criticism from both sides of the political aisle. And I think when that happens, I usually figure that I'm doing something right. I think a misconception would be, depending on what side people are on politically, that the press is in the bag or for or against one particular leader. That's not my experience, and certainly not my attitude or the attitude of my news organization. And I think there's always going to be a critic. There's always going to be somebody who says, "Hey, why didn't you ask this, or why did you do this, or say that?" And that's part of the job, and you develop a thick skin. But that has become, I guess, in the last 4 years, and this isn't the exact question that you asked, but that has been part of the evolving experience of being a White House correspondent, that your skin has had to become, or my skin has had to become, a little thicker.
Like a good politician, you answered the question that you wish you were asked, right?
I did. But yeah. I think I got to the original one as well.
You got it in there. No. So we are obviously in the midst of a heated presidential race. You've been traveling the country with the president, getting to see this from a different perspective. Where do you think this race is at right now?
Well, you know, we have a few different metrics to use to answer that kind of a question. And one are polls, and the polls show that Joe Biden is ahead nationally. But, national polls are not always indicative of what's going to happen, because, as you obviously know and all of us know, the presidential election is determined by the Electoral College. And it's those swing states that really matter. And in some of those swing states, the polls are close. In others, Joe Biden is also ahead. But I guess the other metric I would add to that is just watching how the two campaigns are responding to those polls and engaging or executing their campaign strategies. President Trump's campaign is definitely going all out right now. President Trump is traveling pretty nonstop. And it's September. This is when candidates usually do start traveling at a really fast clip. He's doing that. Despite the coronavirus pandemic, despite concerns about travel, despite concerns about having big crowds, his campaign is doing that and holding them. Vice President Biden is doing a much different strategy. He's traveling a little bit more, and I expect that will also pick up in the coming days and weeks. But it is not comparable right now to the amount of travel that President Trump is doing. So it'll just be interesting, and it's always hard to say in September, or any month of the year for that matter, how things are going to be 2 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now. The election is, about 50 days away.
So much can change in the course of a day, which what means I can only imagine how dizzying your job is every day, day after day, trying to keep up with one of the craziest White House experiences in the history of American politics. You do a great job doing it. You're very gracious with your time. Our thanks to Jeff Mason. We are going to have more podcasts this week as well. We have a podcast with Jerry Brown, the former governor of California, and a podcast with Gloria Allred about the loss of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. We hope you download both of those and connect with me in social media. Leave us a review on this podcast. Share it. Let people know about it. We would really appreciate it. I'm Alex Michelson. Thanks for listening.